Hi, this is Chaim Goldman for The Peak, and this is bonus interview here just on our website. So happy to have you coming for the bonus stuff. We have with us today Wayne Laugesen, who is the editorial page editor at the Colorado Springs Gazette. And we just finished moments ago an on-air interview regarding the media. But as I like to do in these segments, I say to the guest who is here, we're warmed up, we're ready to go. What do you really want to talk about? So Wayne told me that he wants to talk about education and energy. He thinks those are two things that are not being talked about enough. So Wayne, we'll just go for about 10 minutes here. What is it? You know, it's your soapbox. What would you like to say on these issues?
Well, first of all, I think let's start with energy. I think energy is at the crux of everything that we worry about in society today. And it's not covered that way. I would like to do an ad here for a moment, if I could. I think the Gazette does some of the best energy news coverage of any media in the country because we have an energy reporter who gets energy, who understands how it works. His name's Scott Weiser. And he is, if you're not reading his stuff, you should, because it really explains and you get a real idea of the cost of this overnight transition away from conventional fuels to solar and wind. Now, solar and wind are phenomenal. They're great. The more of it, the better, because energy is wealth. Since the dawn of our ability to harness fire and internal combustion, starvation around the globe has just consistently gone down. By 2050, I believe we could end hunger around the globe if we would stop the war on oil and gas and nuclear fission, and continue with our march toward wind and solar and geothermal. All of the above. Energy saves lives. Energy sustains life. Energy moves society forward. Unfortunately, when we are demonizing energy to the point that, and in Colorado, which I think is has the seventh most highest deposits of oil and gas of any state in the country, we've discouraged investment and exploration in Colorado. You don't hear about it. You don't see it in the news. It's not a great big headline. But slowly over the years, we've seen oil and gas companies from downtown Denver leave Colorado. Overly regulated, just too expensive to do business here, mostly because of the excessive regulations. Every time we do that, every time we do something that makes it more expensive to obtain oil and gas, we hurt poor people. We hurt the poor and the minority demographics that the left, who really is championing this overnight transition away from traditional fuels. That same political movement also feigns a lot of concern for low-income households and minorities. And by minorities, that's because, unfortunately, minority groups still are underrepresented in the economy. Every time they do, so I was in Africa about a year ago this month, and people there are very sad about the fact that we are de-emphasizing the need to produce oil and gas here, because in most African villages and even in big cities, they don't have gas lines leading to the house. So what they need is liquid. They need propane in tanks that used to be they could acquire it and cook with it and heat with it. That's becoming expensive and almost impossible to find in Africa right now because we aren't producing at the level that we could and should be. So these people then are cooking and heating with dung, twigs, garbage, anything they can find that will produce heat. That not only pollutes the air more than clean natural liquid natural gas would, it also kills people. You're not going to live as long if you're cooking inside of your house with garbage or even firewood, clean firewood. So that is, I think that's the most underreported story in the world today, is how it is the unintended consequences, the deadly unintended consequences of the war on oil and gas.
Well, and we could maybe ask whether they're unintended or not.
Right. That's a, you know, I'm giving benefit of the doubt. Right.
I'm more of a skeptic. Yes. I think that the forces behind it know what they're doing. But we'll just get everybody in Africa a Tesla and everything will be fine.
That's right. Yeah.
By the way, if people haven't heard, it recently came out that, you know, without the subsidies and everything for buying a car, replacing your battery in the electric car, that it's something like, it would be equivalent to $22 a gallon is what electric car owners are actually paying overall. And if the subsidies were not there, it would, you know, no one would be able to afford this. So I think what Wayne is saying, you know, the technology one day hopefully will be wonderful and clean, but yeah, we don't have it now. And so the shutting down of what we do have is causing more problems than this future solution that may or may not come.
That's right.
Because the technology is not there yet for America to switch over to electric in everything. We don't have it.
And we don't have the capacity. We don't have anywhere near the grid capacity for every single person to have a, for every household to have an electric car. It simply isn't there. And for it to be there, we're going to need more transmission capacity, and we're also going to need more capacity, and that's going to be, that now we're talking nuclear. Right. Because
which they're wanting to shut down too.
Right, which they shouldn't, because one pellet of uranium, a naturally occurring resource here in Colorado, very abundant, no less natural than dirt. A pellet of uranium can do with that what we could do with an entire train load of coal. Mm-hmm. You know, at least one coal car. Mm-hmm. It is so energy dense that the amount of wealth that it produces is incredible.
Okay, well, let's get on to education, which is the other hot topic that you wanted to cover. What would you like to say about education?
Well, I think education in this country, the educational establishment, first of all, it's failing in a number of ways. Students can't read and write. More than half students can't read and write. And when you get into Black and Hispanic demographics of children, it's even worse. Our schools are not doing justice. They are not creating equitable outcomes for poor and minority children who get put in whatever school is closest to them. And those schools are losing enrollment because people are not satisfied with the results that they're getting. And I think most of this relates to the fact that the schools are run, we have school board elections, and ostensibly we have local people who govern the school. They're on the school board. In reality, very few people pay attention to those campaigns, and very few people ever think to run for the school board. So what happens is the National Education Association and all of its local branches, they choose candidates, they fund candidates, they elect the school boards in most cases, and those school boards do exactly what they want. This is the same National Education Association that put in writing last year that capitalism is the bane of humanity, that it needs to be replaced. The very capitalism that gives us the finest educational system in the country, that funds it. I don't know what they're talking about, but we have this irrational, failed indoctrination going on with students K through college. And it's no longer a badge of honor to have graduated from Harvard, let's put it that way.
Right. I do want to say, and I'd like to get your comment on this, in the Pikes Peak region, there has been pushback on the school board side. There are a lot of people who have run and won against what the teachers' unions and stuff were pushing all of that money into this region. So what do you think about that? We have about a minute left in this about how successes that we've had with citizens getting involved here in the Pikes Peak region?
We're starting to see a change in a positive direction. We got a long way to go. Mm-hmm. It took the left decades. 50 years to control this establishment. Right. Now we're starting to see the tables turn because parents are onto it and community activists. I mean, I can think of a number of them here in Colorado Springs. The name Steve Shuck comes to mind, who just, and other business leaders. He's a business leader.
Focused on education, yeah.
Yeah, the business community cannot thrive if you don't have an excellent school system.
Right.
Graduating children who know how to read, write, and all that, everything that they need to survive in life. So we are seeing people taking back the school boards, organizing so that the community picks the candidates and elects the candidates and not just the school board candidates. Okay. The union candidates.
Yes. Okay. Well, Wayne Loggison, editorial page editor from the Gazette, thank you so much for talking to us about energy and about education, things that are on your heart. And we appreciate you so much and continue to be that voice crying in the wilderness. And hopefully many will come and join alongside you and we can bring more of a balance back into media here in our region and elsewhere.
Thank you very much.
This has been a special bonus edition of The Peak with Wayne Loggison. Thank you so much for joining us here on our website. Please check out the other content.